Welcome to the Misunderstanding Dementia Show. This episode is brought to you by the Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia Care Seminar, the required course to be a certified dementia practitioner. Check out our website at drmikechua.com/ADDC. Enjoy the show.
This is Dr. Mike Chua, physical therapist and certified dementia practitioner. And today I've got a special guest, Dr. Susan Lowry. We're here at Martin, Tennessee, Martin Medical. And I'm just here to ask her, interview her, ask some questions, and actually learn from her about different types of dementia. You know, what are the common issues that she sees in our community. So again, thank you very much, Dr. Susan. I appreciate you for allowing me to interview you. And I'm very excited because it's my first time to talk to Dr. Lowry like this. So again, Dr. Lowry, where are you from? Where did you get your medical degree? And that, you know, tell us about yourself.
Okay, I'm from Martin, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Grew up here. My dad is a family practitioner here. Went to University of Tennessee at Martin. Went to East Tennessee State University, which is a pretty much a primary care dominated medical school. Went to Jackson for my residency program, and then I've been here practicing for about 25 years.
25 years? That don't look like 25 years, right?
I have worked in rehab off and on. I have been a medical director of a nursing home for the last 25 years. Okay. Also worked in acute rehab at Cane Creek Rehab Hospital for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So I've dealt with a lot of dementia patients. The nursing home I'm associated with has a lockdown unit for dementia patients. Mm-hmm. That is more end stage. Mm-hmm. Also have had a father-in-law that died of dementia. So mm-hmm. I know it firsthand what that involves and the processes of it. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that we talk about when you're looking for dementia is everyone gets a little forgetful, mm-hmm. Which is very normal as you get older, but you get more forgetful whether they ate or what they have been doing. They might leave the stove on, mm-hmm. and you think, okay, well, we randomly leave the stove on, but they leave it consistently on. Or you look in the refrigerator and the food is way out of date, or they mm-hmm. haven't eaten it. Or you notice the food is a little bit more overcooked than usual. And it depends on what kind of cooks you have at home. Mm-hmm. Looking in, if you go in a house, sometimes you'll look at the laundry and mm-hmm. see how it is. You'll find more incontinence. That's mm-hmm. another stage of dementia. Is they get further along. They don't get to the bathroom. They don't get the bathroom time. They don't think to go to the bathroom. And it's too late. Mm-hmm. And so they don't always associate that. There are several mini-meal status tests, like mm-hmm. making a clock and giving you three or four words or three or four numbers to mm-hmm. remember. But sometimes that's not always real good. A lot of times it's just simple things from the family. Mm-hmm. If they've ever driven and gotten lost, mm-hmm. that's a number one.
Mm-hmm. If you heard that, if your loved ones, if they've driven and they've gotten lost, you know, that's... I get lost too every now and then, so that's a very good indicator there. Thank you yes. for pointing that out.
If they wander out in the middle of the night, and we've had some of them just get off, walk out of the house in the odd times of the night, mm-hmm. some of them have had to lock their homes mm-hmm. at night to prevent them from going out. But that's another sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they've had to lock out the food, the cooking, some of the basic things, you know, their ADLs, you know, can they get themselves dressed? Do they know how to button a shirt? Do mm-hmm. they know where the socks go?
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. Now, if you can catch it early, it does run in families. Mm-hmm. So if like my father-in-law had Alzheimer's, everybody in his family had Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew that everybody was going to end up with mm-hmm. it, and we knew he was. So when the first treatment medications came through, mm-hmm. the first one was called Aricept.
Aricept, okay.
Or Donisapil.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't prevent it. It just delays the progression of it.
Delays the progression. So you've heard that. So Aricept or Donisapil, I don't know how you pronounce that. You're asking a foreigner. It doesn't prevent it. Okay, does it prevent it, but it just delays the progression. So a lot of, you know, people out there, they try to market, hey, we can reverse. But actually, it is irreversible. You know, it is irreversible. And We're just preventing it for the progression. So thank you for pointing that out, Dr. Larry.
There are several other things we'd recommend. Vitamin D supplementation has really been good. That is a good thing. I would recommend about 5,000 units a day.
Oh, wow.
Over the counter, usually you can get 2 to 5, and I would recommend a good 5,000, especially black people, white people who don't go out.
Because
as we get older, we don't get out in the sun as much. And if you don't drink a lot of milk, sometimes you don't get enough vitamin D either. Mm-hmm. But I do recommend a vitamin D supplement. The other thing, there are other drugs. There are Exelon patches. There are Namenda. There are a lot of other things we do use. But again, it's got to be fairly aggressive. And it's not going to prevent. It's just going to slow. And there's no full treatment. Now, a couple of things we do suggest people do is routine. You get up at the same time every day. You get up, you go to the bathroom, you eat breakfast, you do a project, an activity, like a find a word, a crossword puzzle, even on the computer, luminosity. I also use that on my head trauma patients too.
Oh, wow.
Some kind of testing or word search or word things on their computers.
You heard that, lumosity, because your brain is actually a muscle too, like what Dr. Lau was saying. This is a muscle. It gets weak. Same thing with the brain. It also needs to be exercised, like what she's sharing right now. So lumosity, brain games, and stuff like that.
Right. The other thing I recommend, because mornings are great. By 3 o'clock in the afternoon, their brain is tired. And that's when they get sundowners, and that's why they get more confused, they get more tired. So I do recommend that. Have a good lunch and then maybe a nap, because that's when the moods start getting worse. The other thing we do recommend, especially in the winter, is to keep the lights on, keep it bright in the house, because in the afternoon the sun starts going down and it gets darker. And as it starts getting darker in a house, they will start seeing things. They will start seeing shadows, things on the floor. They'll start having hallucinations. So we do recommend bright lights. Turn all your lights on. Shut the blinds so that, because the sun's gone. Make it brighter in the house until it's time to go to bed.
That's a very practical tip.
Oh, absolutely.
When we forget that. I do home health, and I come into a patient's house. It's already dark, and we just keep it dark. Very, very practical tip. So you guys need to writing this down. We'll also put some show notes on this, and that way we can, make it as some sort of a blog. So thank you, Dr. Larry.
But yes, so the sunshine is one thing, and also keeping their activity the same. They're not going to do as much in the afternoon, so more of the activity. If they're going to fold laundry or do any kind of household thing, then nighttime needs to be a little bit milder. Everything needs to get situated for bed. Routines need to be done, and then once they are in bed, families, turn all the lights off. It's time for bed, because they get night and days mixed up. So anything you can do to kind of help that, but it's all about routine. If they get out of the routine, it's crazy, it's chaos. If they can keep the same people with them, that's a good thing. Also, it is not unusual for them to have hallucinations. They also have like an alternate world. Okay. My father-in-law, the house was not his house, but he lived there for 50 years. The church was not the same church. I go to a new church. He had forgotten his wife had died of breast cancer two years ago. So he would cry a little bit and said, "Oh, okay, I need to go to church." So it was, but he kept that routine, but everything was in a little alternate. That's not unusual. And you can't fight them about it. Don't argue with them about it.
You hear that? Don't argue.
Don't
live in their world. So
you just you just kind of redirect and say, "Oh, well, let's go fold laundry, or let's go do something," because they can remember those tasks. But you can't. Don't argue. Because it's not going to help. Because their mind is not normal. And it's like arguing with a three-year-old. You can't. So you have to redirect them. And don't get mad at that. They're going to be incontinent. They can't help it. You can toilet them. You can take them to the bathroom. I recommend time toileting every 2 hours. Let's go to the bathroom. Don't ask them to go. Just say, "We're going to go." And usually if they sit down, something will happen. Because my mother has got a little confusion started, and you'll ask her, you need to go to the bathroom? No, no. And then she's just incontinent, just all over. So it's one of those things. Don't ask them. It's 10 o'clock. You went to pee at 8 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. Let's go toilet again. Right? And just don't even, oh, well, let's walk to the bathroom. We're going to go for a little walk. Just redirect them, because you've kind of got to be in their world a little bit. But you can't argue, because they can't, and they will be at an argumentative stage at one point.
That's true.
Agitated, and it's very trying. And that's why self-help groups that you can talk to each other, this is how you're going to feel. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that, you know, we can talk about too is there are resources. Mm-hmm. You have doctors that are resources. Medicines may be appropriate, may not. They're expensive. They may have tried them. They don't work. So we use other things. Home health is there. Mm-hmm. Physical therapy is there. We do outpatient. We do home health. We do nursing home. We use behavior groups. We have patients in hospice because there are some patients that don't do well going in hospitals. If they're in a nursing home and they're disabled and they've got dementia, we try to treat them there for pneumonia. So if you've got a loved one in the nursing home, and instead of sending them to the ER, they treat them there because they go to the hospital. That's not their environment.
It's going to be a change in environment.
They get agitated. They get irritable. They get very, that's not their family. There's not the people. So that's why they keep a lot of them. I keep a lot of my patients in the nursing home. They can do IV antibiotics. They can do breathing treatments. Everything in the nursing home in their environment. Because that's already confused anyway.
It's going to be confusing again. It's a changing environment. So I like what Dr. Lara is talking about, you know, routine. You know, you have to keep on doing the same routine again and again. That's why it's called rehab. Re means repeat, hab means habilitate or live. So you have to keep on repeating in order for that brain to remember. And then in that way, they get used to that routine that you're providing. So thank you for pointing that out, Dr. Larry.
Anything else you want to talk about?
You mentioned about driving, because I hear a lot of, I get a lot of those questions. Mm-hmm. When do I stop asking dad to stop driving and stuff like that? So is there any special test that you do that, okay, you're supposed to stop driving? Any kind of words or technique or phrases to tell dad, you know, hey dad, you gotta stop driving, or you just write down, hey, you're not supposed to drive?
A couple things we usually do. One of the first things we do is limit their driving. Usually they'll go to church, the grocery, pay bills. Okay? And if you can try to get anything online paid, so they're not having to do that. The other thing is they're you're going to have to watch their income. They are scammers that will call these people. And one caught my mother, honey, they will just, and she went and got gift cards.
Oh, gosh.
And mailed them. Very common. I've got another couple that got scammed.
Even in this small town that we have?
Small town. They'll call, gosh. And honey, they'll get $5,000 or $6,000. You can't, Medicare's not going to call you on the phone. Do not give any information on the phone. And if you can block callers, because most people just have cell phones, block it, anybody but immediate family calling. They change their insurances on the phone.
Yeah.
And they totally get wrong places. They'll get insurance that nobody here locally takes. So it's one of those things you have to really limit that, limit, you know, what comes out, make sure you talk to the bank and say, okay, these are the only bills my mother is going to be paying. You know, you have to limit that, because that is big, big thing. And older people that have mild dementia, even older people that don't have dementia get scammed.
Yeah. I mean, imagine that. Thank you for pointing it out. With regards to that, Dr. Larry, do we,
for the driving thing, limit the driving, number one. But if it gets to be a problem, if they can't get in and out of the car, they're getting lost, sometimes you have to ride with them and see if they're safe to drive. If it gets to that point, no, or they're having trouble walking. My mother went and got her hair done. She fell when she came home. She doesn't need to be driving. Now, sometimes you have to disable the car, pull a distributor cap, do something.
You heard that, okay.
Hide the keys, because they can do the keys, but the car won't work. But you're going to have to do something that it won't work. And then, well, we're going to take it to the shop, and then you just kind of leave it at the shop. And the shop is somebody else's house.
There you go. Redirection, like what Dr. Lara said, you know, either, like what you said, you know, remove the distributor cap, or, you know, just the battery terminal, you know, just find something, because you really need to redirect, because we're not just talking about the safety of your parents. we're talking about the safety of your community too. So you got to be on top of that too.
And sometimes you know, the doctor still talks to him. Hey, you won't hurt yourself, but what if you hurt me and my kids in the car? Mm-hmm. So that usually gets them thinking. And usually, again, if you see them in the early stages, usually they're going to not drive after night. That's why a lot of, you know, we have earlier churches. Don't drive after night because they can't see in the dark. And at the evenings, they can't remember either because they're in that hallucinating stage and that sundowning. So if your parents go to church regularly, that's something that they usually do. You know, do the morning service. They just really want you to do morning. Some churches will even have two services in the afternoon so that they're not having these older people drive in the night.
Excellent.
Or make sure that the church bus picks them up or you pick them up. I'm going to go pick you up. Because anything after dark is just really goes down.
You heard that. You also mentioned, Dr. Naira, I know you got, you mentioned about, you know, the daughter talking to the bank and everything. Do we need to get a POA and how do they process that?
A lot of times, if they're in the early stages, you can get your name put on the account too. Mm-hmm. And I definitely would do that with a family. Mm-hmm. I've had some families really argue about that. But to get a POA, if you've got a doctor or a primary care doctor who has examined the patient and knows that, they can help you get some power of attorney papers so that you can help with the banking. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had some family members take everything, but these people were going to be very paranoid about their money. Mm-hmm. But it's so easily to be scammed. And if you can say, hey, Dad, you know, I know I've been watching the account. I'm thinking somebody's getting some. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can go that in there and just make sure that this is what they have. Mm-hmm. Put that money back so it's safe. Only leave so much in their debit card. Mm-hmm. Limit the debit card usage.
You know,
and just tell the bank if it flags, you know, just so the bank knows we're working with this. Dad's having a little trouble remembering. You know, I'm worried about scamming. And most of the local banks are really good about watching that, changing the cards, changing all the numbers, only limiting this is the bills they can pay, you know, local places and stuff like that. So
thank you for pointing that out. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be on top of it, guys. You know, my daughters are not going to have a problem with my account. There's nothing there, so. Well, anyway, you also mentioned, Dr. Larry, about, you mentioned about insurance. So what is the best insurance that, you know, patients who have dementia right now, do we need to stick to the traditional Medicare Part B? Because those are some of the questions that I've been getting from the group. Hey, this facility is not accepting my mother because I have this insurance. So what is the best insurance that we can have?
A lot of the Medicare Advantage plans are much harder to get them into nursing home placement. Mm-hmm. Traditional Medicare is much easier. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a younger person on Medicare, like if you're 65 to 75, you need glasses, you don't go to the doctor much, you need preventative care, that's probably a better thing for a Medicare Advantage plan. Mm-hmm. If you're more disabled and need rehab frequently, have more medical problems, a Medicare Advantage plan is probably not an option. I would go to traditional Medicare with a good supplement that will help pick up the extra days. Mm-hmm. You're also going to have to look for a good Part D plan because you're on usually a lot more medications. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my take on some of those Advantage plans. Sounds really good because they're cheaper on the front end, but only certain facilities take them. Some of the facilities don't have dementia units, and you want to find one that will take some of the plans that have the dementia units. And you may have to look in your area where you live. What does your plan pay for? Call some of the nursing facilities that have the dementia units if it runs in your family or that have the rehab units. What insurance plans do you take? Mm-hmm. Because we have found some of the Medicare Advantage people will sell plans that nobody takes, no hospital takes around here. Yeah. And they should not be selling a product when they don't have the services for the product. And that's not right. Mm-hmm. So if I had a loved one, I would do a Medicare, traditional Medicare, and get a secondary supplement. Mm-hmm.
So you heard that, Misunderstanding Dementia Group. You got to make sure, call around your community, call your nursing home facility, your hospital,
and you know, figure out what are they accepting and what is the best insurance for your loved ones. You know, every insurance is different. Like what Dr. Lara said, if you are younger, 60-something-year-old, pretty healthy, those Medicare Advantage are good. But if you are disabled and you need more services like rehab, nursing, home health, you have to stick to the traditional Medicare. So thank you for pointing that out. And yeah, we're encountering that too in home health and also in my own practice in therapy. I will get some referrals from the nursing home when they go home, and I'll do Medicare Part B, and they really need therapy, but I can't accept because it's Medicare Advantage. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. And so we've had to change a lot of our patients to off their Medicare Advantage plans. And those plans will call you middle of the day, and they just automatically change you. Oh, and you think it's Medicare calling me. Oh, I need to answer it. Don't answer it. Mm. Everything else should be through the mail, or you sign up. Don't answer it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like these other random calls asking for money. You know, I will give them money, not on the phone. Don't give any information out on the phone.
So just make sure, you know, make sure it's traditional Medicare, okay?
Yes.
Traditional Medicare.
Yes.
Any last parting wisdom for us, Dr. Larry? I mean, I learned so much today. I teach a class about this, but I learned, you know, that's how we learn. I mean, we learn from other people. So any last parting wisdom for our audience?
Just if they have other questions, we can try to set this up again and give you some extra answers, or if you know, we can, you know, figure out something else. Because, like I said, I've been doing this 25 years, and I've been in all sorts of rehab areas, you know, and it's hard. It's really hard when you have your loved one, you know, when they're physically able, but their mind is not good. It's really hard to watch.
That's so true, Dr. Larry. Right. Again, where can we find you, Dr. Larry? What is your number here
I'm at the Martin Medical Center. Mm-hmm. We're located in Martin, Tennessee, 117 Kennedy Drive. Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 731-587-9511. We do take new patients. Mm-hmm. We accept pretty much all insurances around this area, and we do have patient portals.
There you go.
Martin Medical Center.
Well, we will put her website and the telephone number and the address in our show notes, and just let you know, I've seen Dr. Larry work I've seen her patients at the hospital, and they just love her. So if you need general medicine and all the services here in this area, come over here, and they'll take care of you. Again, thank you very much, Misunderstanding Dementia. Thank you very much, Dr. Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Before I let you go, always remember the word FAST, F-A-S-T. First is letter F, right? Letter F. Why? Because you have to find friends that will help you. Find caregiver support group that will help you bring out the best in you. Because if you're a caregiver, you got to find people that will support you. Because you are the average of the five people you hang out with. So if you're hanging out with awesome people, guess what? You're going to be awesome. I hang out with Dr. Larry right now. I know I'm awesome right now. So you got to find people, you know, find a support group, find people that will help you, okay? And she also mentioned it earlier, find a good doctor, a good nursing home, a good hospital that will take your insurance. What's the next letter? Letter A, you got to learn how to take action. All these videos that we're doing, it's free. This interview is free. Everything is almost free on our website. But you got to learn how to take action. What kind of action you need to take? You know, take care of yourself. You know, caregiving is you're giving something. If you cannot give what you do not have, if you don't take care of yourself as a caregiver, guess what? You're going to get sick. And you got to take care of yourself, all right? The next letter, letter S. Learn how to shoot for the moon. Why? Because when you miss it, you're going to be eventually landing with the stars. You know, keep shooting for the moon. Keep shooting for the moon. When you're taking care of your loved ones, you know, give the best care to them. Give the best service to them. And last but not least, letter T. Learn how to teach it. Dr. Larry's teaching me right now. I'm learning from her. All this stuff that you're learning from this website, from our group, teach it to other people, because all the tests that you're going through is actually a testimony for other people. Again, thank you very much, Alternative Care Group and Misunderstanding Dementia. Thank you, Dr. Larry. I appreciate
you.
And